All right, everyone. Welcome back to UCY.TV. I think there was some kind of glitch or something going on. It's been silent, radio silence, I think they call it, going on. But I'm here, and I hope everyone has had a good holiday season, and I hope everyone spent a lot of money and consumed a lot of things, you know, bought things and spent money, and that's what matters, you know. That's all that matters. But okay, so kind of a slow news cycle right now. So I think tonight what we're gonna do is we're gonna delve into this pretty weird conspiracy theory that my co-host DB has talked about and kind of got me on it. And it's a good one. I'll admit, it's creepy and it's weird and it's like an octopus. It's got its tentacles in everything. And so we're going to talk about that. And I don't know if my co-host is already in on the call, but if he is...
Yeah, I'm here, Jake.
Awesome. How was your... So you're in Minnesota where what I heard was it's negative 36 degrees.
That's up on the Canadian border. We're like negative 15, which is still, I mean, it's not that cold right now. Right now it's like negative 5 or something, but it doesn't, it's honestly not that bad because you can just bundle up. It's probably worse to have a 120 degree day than a negative 20 degree day.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You just layer that shit, right? You got to do the layers.
Yeah. You get used to it too. And then now, you know, 40 degrees is, I feel like it's air conditioning. Whereas I'm sure if I go home, people will be like, oh my God.
Well, what I've heard also is that it's better for sleep. Actually, you're better off sleeping in like 60 degree room than in a hot room. It's just better for your REM cycle. So,
just
something
exactly.
To note, those of you out there, if you have sleeping problems, you might want to make your room a little colder. And probably stop doing the meth also, because I hear that keeps you up. I'm not sure, though.
Yeah, it makes you get all sweaty. It's just tough to sleep.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like you're in bed, and you just did like a rail of meth, and you're in bed like, what the fuck? Why can't I fall asleep?
So how's your, how are your, I mean, obviously, I guess we did the Hanukkah thing, so, you know.
While I am Jewish, I don't celebrate Hanukkah, and we really don't celebrate Christmas either. It's more of a social custom that we have in our family. I visited my parents in the mountains, East Mountains of Albuquerque, which is where I am now. If there's any CIA agents that want to drone strike me right now, I'm in the East Mountains. If that's what you want to do, I don't think anyone.
Be careful, dude. They're MS-13.
I don't think they give a shit about me, but maybe I'm not. Maybe because I'm not high profile enough, I'm like the perfect person to take out, you know.
But yeah, I think it's when we dive into this Q stuff, I think it's a done deal, and I think a lot of people are they're worried about stuff that, number one, they can't control. Number two, they haven't prepped for anyway. So even if it does happen, they're not going to have any recourse. And number three, it's all for the better, and I think we're going to get into that.
Yeah,
I sent you chronology about QAnon.
Yes.
We can go over it.
Thank you. It's a very informative thread, because there's really just a lot of some people that are very good at research and tying things together are not necessarily good at explaining or are speaking necessarily. And that's what I'm finding with a lot of times with conspiracy theories. I think they lose a lot of people and listeners simply because they're not clearly moving from one point to the next, from cause to effect. And that's what I like about this little spreadsheet you sent me. So basically earlier today, I was saying, hey, DB, what we can talk about on the show tonight? And you said we should talk about QAnon. And I was like, all right, well, I know a little bit about that, but not much. And I start, you know, looking into it. And I've been looking into it. And it's really difficult to find concise explanations of what it is. So DB sent me this document, and it does explain it. Now, I have problems with the theory, and mostly because, and I'm going to be perfectly honest with you, there's a word that is used a lot, and I can't stand it because of the stigma attached to it and the connotations behind it. I cannot stand the word patriot. I really can't. A lot of these people, they only come out of the woodwork to do this kind of work when it's always anti-Democrats. A lot of these right-wing libertarian people, they're conspiracy theories, which is why this is a particularly interesting time, because we have a Republican in the White House. We have Congress controlled by the right. And I know this issue is really at its higher levels, this issue is bipartisan. This is not a party thing, but that's why it annoys me so much when it becomes partisan and when it's used as a partisan tool. Okay, so with that said, the fact that Alex Jones has made me hate the word patriot, let's get into QAnon. So QAnon is essentially an anonymous poster who's been using forums like 4chan and 8chan to distribute breadcrumbs, so to speak, of a high-arcing conspiracy that involves, of course, the deep state, which is a confluence of the alphabet agencies with certain factions of the military, certain factions of the media, of course, and of course the predicating all of this is an established fact of what we knew took place with Operation Mockingbird in the 60s, in the 50s and 60s. It's an important starting point, because people, you have to understand that first before you can move to the rest of this. You have to understand that mainstream media and mainstream print and all of that stuff going back to the 60s has been completely and totally infiltrated by the CIA and other agencies, and they embed messages from the State Department, narratives that they want to go out there, disinformation in the media constantly. You have to understand that first to understand why there's a shifting matrix of information, and it's very difficult to get to the root of what's true and what's not true. Hate to tell you this, if you're a big Rachel Maddow fan, some people are. I used to like her a lot. My mom listens to her. Unfortunately, she is a victim of this. And my dad just came into the room holding a drill. Sorry, I got distracted there for a minute.
It's never the wrong time for a little home renovation.
Yeah. Well, I was not expecting someone to walk into the room holding a power drill at that exact moment. All right, where was I at? Operation Mockingbird. Okay, so that was the CIA infiltration of the news and entertainment media, and that's an important part too, because there's a documented history of how there has been a CIA infiltration of Hollywood films, giant Hollywood films, pushing military narratives, for example, the War on Terror. And I think there's a lot of really subtle shit going on all the time that we don't necessarily pick up on.
Absolutely. So I guess
you need to know more about Operation Mockingbird. You can look it up. I wrote an article on it on anti-media. Okay, for this next part, it gets a little tricky as to why Trump is supposedly surrounding himself with only military personnel. I'm going to let DB take over now and explain a little bit more of what's going on. Let's try and keep this to the facts as much as we can now and get into some of the crazier conspiracies later.
Right. Well, I mean, if we're using this source doc, this smart sheet that somebody was ingenious enough to come up with, and I can't even remember who gave this to me, we can go at a chronological pace. So QAnon at this point is unknown. Breaking news as we speak, people are doing what they think is tracking this person down to their original Twitter account. So I think we can put to bed anything as far as AI or alien at this point. I think I think this is a person close to the Trump administration.
Which is why I think you have to be
who it is. I
be a little skeptical of it. This could be just simply counter propaganda.
It could be, except for just a lot of the confirmations, which we're going to get into, and they've been coming recently. So QAnon, the original post was on 4chan. It was done October 29th. Essentially, what this was alluding to was the storm, which a lot of people may or may not know what that is. So one of the quotes that Hillary kind of said was, if she didn't win, they were going to hang from deuces, her and everybody that supported her. And we can get into the reasons why that is later, but let's kind of go over what QAnon has essentially gone and done. QAnon, like you said, dropped a bunch of breadcrumbs, which is why people think that this person has is privy to information that literally nobody really can get a hold of unless they have what's called Q clearance. So people can look that up online. They can also research wizards and warlocks. So essentially what we're looking at, Jake, is you're looking at the new school technological side of the United States intelligence apparatus being the NSA, okay? So a lot of people are very skeptical about what the NSA does, because what the NSA does is broadband encapsulation of all data. So I'm sure everybody knows from various WikiLeaks and now all these source codes being revealed that these guys use all kinds of means to get into anything and everything they want, and they don't even process it. They just collect it and then slowly process it. So the general consensus with what Trump was, what QAnon is that essentially the military, in combination with people in the NSA and military intelligence, especially old school people, which I know you hate the word patriotic, so let's just use the word they're loyal to their nation. Okay,
say the word. I don't care.
Patriotic is patriarchal, and you're right. It really does. It comes from a root of an unthinking patronage or loyalty, and just following orders blindly. And that's definitely not what humanity needs to do anymore. But as far as nation states go, and culture, and people wanting to live around people that in most regards think like they do, that stuff's still part of human nature. So what we had is a group of people that for God knows how long, 5,000 years plus, had been able to come up with ways of controlling lending and money. Okay, money magic, Babylon, you get it. You can Google this stuff, or better yet, DuckDuckGo it. We don't need to provide a long history lesson, but the central banker class of the world, and they are in every single country, had gotten very, very close to taking total control of the U.S. over, and the military wasn't down for that, and while they still had a window to stop it, they did. So what QAnon is what's called a white hat release. People that are good, that are in the apparatus, that wanted to see a stop put to what are undoubtedly some of the worst people that have ever existed, and they've organized, and they have total monopolies on all of the black markets in every single horrible industry you could think of, from trafficking to organ harvesting to even occult stuff, man, which, you know, you can...
We have to accept that in this world, this stuff is definitely going on, you know. So the question is it logical to think that there are people with great power who are not trying to monopolize this? Of course there are. And who are in the best position to do that? It's going to be people with government clearance. So anyway, go ahead. That's just my point.
Well, you know, just to keep going, we're kind of giving the roots of why is this even happening? Okay, because a lot of people, even some people listening, may not be aware of what's been really going on as far as the dismantling of the sovereignty of nations all over the globe. It doesn't matter if it's the U.S. You can see all kinds of countries selling out, and some of the biggest buyers are benign, like China. As much as you may think about China being bad for the world, the truth is that they don't really invade countries. They do buy the assets up. They're good businessmen, and they've been the center of the world economy forever, except for 200 years ago because of the opium wars, which we've touched on before. But China's the natural engine, economic engine of the whole world, because of where it sits in the world and what it has access to. So what I'm trying to say is there were nations that were doing the same thing as these central bankers were, but the nations are beholden to their citizens. Who do central bankers answer to? The truth is they answer to the biggest shareholders, and you're talking about the Warren Buffetts and Bezoses and Gates of the world controlling it all in the West, controlling it all, down to the political process, to the voting machine where you push the one of your two selections of rulers, and it still picks the other one because they don't really care who you vote for anymore. So that's what this whole thing about QAnon is coming about. This is the military's last window, last chance to take the country back for us, for the people. Now, I don't know if we have it in us anymore to actually lead ourselves. That's a scary proposition, Jake. And that's, yeah,
I don't think it's possible anymore, but maybe.
I do, but it's gonna be very, very, a very rough landing.
Yeah.
And here's why. When QAnon and this movement to dislodge the central banker and ancient bloodline class from the U.S., because we've always been a conservative rebellion, okay? We had landowners. The people that ran the war for the colonies, like the George Washingtons, those guys were slave owners. Those guys were horrible people too, okay? They weren't good people, all right? But they set up a framework that we can amend into something that is worth saving. The Constitution is worth saving. It gives you the ability to be free legally. There's no other country in the world where you don't have to declare fealty to either the government or a monarchy of some sort, or a sultan or a king, or you name it, okay? You have to. And there's no way that you can do anything they don't want because you're disarmed in every other country in the world. I promise you, if you look it up, you cannot arm yourself as easily and legally as you can here anywhere else in the world. And if you can, it's countries where they literally have no government.
Whereas those countries also don't have an insane murder rate like we do.
Well, but, yes, but yeah, that is illness. I'll make an argument that we're under attack from our own government in ways that you can't even fathom that lead to an enormous amount of violence in our country.
Let me ask you one thing real quick before we move on, and sure. I don't know if you're gonna have an answer to this, but it's one thing that really bugs me about this. Okay, so if there's an establishment that fears being dismantled, and this establishment controls the voting booths, like you said, and Trump is going to dismantle this establishment, why did this establishment allow Trump to get voted into office? If they control the voting and he's going to dismantle them, why would they allow him to come into office?
So the beauty of people that are arrogant is that they tend to be stupid too, and they made mistakes. And what they did was they tipped their hand with Bernie versus Hillary. Okay, Bernie massively destroyed Hillary in the primary, only they used voting machine hacking, okay? And the white hats, meaning the NSA, saw it in real time happen. So then when the primary was over and they rammed her through, they tried to do it again in the general, only they now had the back door already. So they just stopped all the votes from flipping. So that's how he won. He won the true vote. There's a guy named Richard Charnin. You should look him up. Trump won the true vote. All right. He did the statistical analysis. Trump had more real votes because of so much corruption and fraud on the left. I'm sorry, dude.
So why didn't they flip it? Why didn't they flip it to Hillary?
Because Trump is who they wanted. The military and the white hats and the NSA don't want Hillary. They don't want somebody that is completely horrible, heinous, and evil. They're totally fine with a robber baron.
So there's two cabals.
Yeah.
But only one of them has control over elections.
The U.S. And the election side was the Soros side, which is the voting machines and the NPG van, and now we're looking into Fusion GPS and all these other subsidiaries of all these oligarchical types who are anti-nationalist, pro-globalists. Right. I have to tell you that...
That's the point. Well, go ahead.
Well, here's the thing. In a nutshell, the goal at the end was to make the whole world kind of a blend between North Korea and Israel. In other words, total and utter control of everyone at the point of a gun, but the elites will have full and total freedom and total libertarian lifestyle where they can do anything they want. And I mean anything. So let your mind run wild, okay? While the poor masses, the ones that are needed to keep the machines running, will just be kept in check through force. That's what they were setting up. They were getting a nuclear football ready in So we're going to go off the rails a bit here, but let's keep going on with QAnon as far as what he kind of started leaving for breadcrumbs. So the original one was trying to let people know who HRC, Hillary Rodham Clinton, the Clinton Foundation, and everybody that was basically a proponent of hers during the election. He started to leave breadcrumbs for everything. I'm talking about every single association she was with, all of the celebrities that endorsed her. I don't know if you know this, but Google's CEO is gone, Eric Schmidt. What was he doing? Why was he forced down? All right, Papa John's CEO is gone because the NFL is about to die. The NFL actually ran a negative this year.
Yeah,
they had to sell themselves to Verizon like a whore.
How are those connected? How is the NFL connected to Papa John's, connected to Eric Schmidt?
To Eric Schmidt, because what you're looking at was a globalist, totalitarian technocracy that they were setting up with corporations as the government worldwide. One religion, which I'm pretty sure you can tell what religion they prefer because it's being rammed into the throats of everyone right now. And they prefer that people would be all jammed into these mega cities, disarmed, using voting machines and public transportation, vaccinated, chemtrailed out of their mind, and dying around 45 to 50 from cancer. That's the global model. And that's really only like two generations because they're not going to need us much longer. So what I'm trying to say is that if we're going on a conspiracy theory bent, which we do on Thursday, you have the military, which are still human beings and normal people that are enlisted. And thank God that they agree with the constitutional demands placed on them, which is to go after domestic enemies, too, which a lot of them have been watching these people on TV since they're little. And now they're going to go arrest them. I mean, that's what QAnon's alluding to. I think we should probably skip ahead maybe, Jake, to the last couple of weeks in this chronology because the buildup is great and there's lots of questions that people can follow and that'll get them where we're going to go. But I kind of want to get into the last couple of weeks here, maybe starting around beginning of December.
Yeah, go for it, man.
All right. So essentially, everybody knows that Trump went over and did the whole big Asia tour, okay? So the Asia tour he did was, it would have been Clinton's tour if she'd managed to get in, but this is in regards to the Asia pivot, okay? So you have to think about the world as three, maybe at most four empires, but probably for real purposes, three. So 1984 too, right, with the three mega states. So you have three empires, right? Essentially, you have China, U.S., and Russia, as far as for nuclear power, military, landmass, oil, projection of force, and all, et cetera. And in the U.S. sphere is Japan and South Korea and all of our satellite states. China's basically stuck to where it's at, but economically, globally, it owns tremendous assets. So it's a economic powerhouse. And then Russia's got probably more oil than the rest of the world combined by a lot, but it's really hard to tap it. All right. So that's the thing that's happened. And this is all opinion and conjecture from stuff I've researched. And this ties into QAnon is that there was a shift in the consciousness of the military when the U.S. military realized that through fracking, we didn't need Saudi Arabia anymore. All right. This was the first time since the end of World War II, because World War II was such an orgy of oil use that we actually tapped our entire reserves. We ended up giving oil to all of the allies, and we tapped the entire amount that Saudi Arabia has in 5 years. So we just tapped it all. But our huge military was still there, and we had the Bretton Woods Agreement, so we had to have oil for the new dollar petrodollar scheme. So we had to make nice with Saudi Arabia and basically kiss their butt forever. Until now. And staying beholden to Saudi Arabia. So that stopped, I think, when Trump got in. I think basically the military installed him. They did it through a backdoor means, and it's a silent which is a lot better than the hard coup they're probably going to do if she won.
Well, and that now a counter coup going on.
Is it doing anything?
Move him, and that's going to be, you know, if Mueller turns up something which he probably won't, but if he does, if they manufacture something,
they can't. They're open like flies, man.
It'd be a real shit show, though.
I'm just telling you right now, it's all to keep a 100 million pussy hat march from happening. This is a show for people that are not going to be able to handle what they're going to hear eventually, which is a lot of their heroes are going to be arrested.
I really think it's a shit show, but
I'm telling you, you got John Conyers. John Conyers is the pulse of the government. The guy's 88 years old. He's been in Congress for 40 years, and he's out. He's out. All right? The guy would have died in Congress. He would have never gotten out.
He's out supposedly because of some sexual harassment.
Yeah, and they're all going to go down that way.
But are you implying that that's the real reason he's stepping down?
Yeah, of course. And all these people are. You know, I'm not saying they're not dirty birds. I'm just saying they've lost their use. Most of them are traitors to an agenda that was going to strip our sovereignty and enslave us, literally enslave us. I mean, I'm talking about like people coming in from other countries and just taking over, like the UN. And they can't do that anymore. They can't. So I don't know if people are going to like it, because a lot of people listening have lived only under Clintons, Bushes, and Obamas. And you have no idea what it was like under Reagan. And I barely do. And I'm not saying Reagan was a good guy. Reagan got shot, and then he turned into a globalist, all right? Maybe they killed him and they put a clone in. I have no idea. But his first term, people were still able to barely afford the American dream, all right? And that's the only promise to me that even matters is the economy. So these guys talk a whole bunch of crap, pass legislation that kills us in the wallet and makes our lifestyle go to shit. And, I mean, I sent you and Nick an article today about people that are homeless in California that are registered nurses.
Yeah.
That is a perfect example of what the last 4 to 5 presidencies have done. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. What matters is what is their philosophical aim. Is it to enrich themselves and sell out our country, or to make the country more prosperous, and then therefore they'll get rich and we'll all get rich? I know what you're going to say, and a lot of people argue this. We're on a finite planet. We cannot continue the American lifestyle without destroying and polluting the environment. And I say that's totally BS. We just need Tesla tech. And there has to be some kind of a catalyst or political event that makes that come to the forefront. I don't know what that is, though.
I totally think. I mean, I don't know if – I mean, a lot of science fiction I read and I'm obsessed with, of course, would posit that, you know, we're moving towards a post-scarcity economy. But, you know, my question to you would be, you know, so do you think that an isolationist, protectionist – deregulated corporatocracy is going to return us the American dream, or do you think it's going to repackage, drain the swamp, and then just move all of this swamp water to a privatized pool? And, you know, to me, it just seems like these are just we're changing the guard, and just people are shifting assets around into ways that are going to benefit them. I'm not sure deregulate. I mean, and look, I don't like.
I have two thoughts, dude, because there's a pessimist in me and an optimist. Okay, so in reality, we've been living beyond our means for a very, very long time, and we've been paying with it through war. Okay, America with 330 million people to have the lifestyle of that we have is not really sustainable given the current what they say we have for technology. We know we have better. That again, we need to force that out. But what I'm trying to say is that people on average in the U.S. die with $62,000 in debt. supposedly we all owe $65,000 a piece because of all this massive debt they've rung up, which, by the way, $7 out of $10 you owe is to Japan. So don't even worry about it. China's an afterthought, all right?
I eat a lot so I think I'm good.
Yeah, China's only 20%, so don't even worry about China. The thing to dude, I'm totally off track, but the thing to think about is that the economy as it sits is shifting to a UBI economy. And if we have nurses that are homeless and they're going to try to all make it so we're all homeless and we'll accept anything just to get those basic creature comforts back, that to me was kind of the choice we had ahead of us if we continued on the path we were on. Now, I don't know what we have anymore, Jake. I think we have like a fighting chance to actually innovate our way out of this again. We did it in the Great Depression, but it was, and then they derailed it with a war. So if we can prevent a war and we can all pull together and get off of the corporate train, I mean, I'm looking at my gas bill of like $300 and I'm like, dude, I want to like heat my house some other way. Like, this is insane. So
according to you, given the current power dynamic, we shouldn't be seeing any new wars like Iraq, any new, you know, invasions into countries that are going to require years upon years to finish, because we're not supposedly laundering our currency in the war machine, so to speak.
We'll have two regime changes that I think they're going to have to use space-based weapons to do. And I think that's going to bring in the real disclosure, not this half-ass, fake-ass UFO video from New York Times where two dude bro Navy pilots saying, dude bro, 120 knots fucking sideways, blah, 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 all this stupid bullshit that you can tell it's just fake as hell. It's not going to cut it, dude. So if we need to see rods of God rain down on the White Rabbit complex in outside of Pyongyang or hit a mountain outside of Tehran and knock out whatever the hell these stupid dude, for all we know, these two countries without central banks are where the globalists are hiding, dude. You know what I mean? It's like the last place we'd look for them. So I think those regimes are going to get cut off.
And that's Iran and
North Korea.
North Korea.
So the reason I think that is because Iran had an elected president overthrown in 79 and a Shah installed that became extremely oppressive to the people before they had a completely Western modern lifestyle, the Persian Empire. Iran is an unbelievably beautiful country that, being the last stronghold of the Shia sect of Islam or side of Islam, is extremely important to the world, and they wanted to wipe it out so long. So they've been trying to ruin that country, and then North Korea, everybody, I think, knows that.
Yeah, well, both those countries have been on the axis of evil since 9/11.
Somalia. I mean, I'm sure Paraguay is going to get special operations because the Bushes own like half of the land down there. So, listen, they're going after everybody that was in a anybody that was attached or associated to any presidential person after JFK died. They're going to go after them. Anybody except maybe Carter, you know. So all of them, dude. I mean, anybody who's not dead, they're just going to go after all their financiers because these people sold us out for the last 54 years. They just sold us out. You know, before we had, we didn't have Federal Reserve notes. We had United States Treasury notes, so we could go into a mint and get silver for them. So you could travel around the world. You didn't get killed on your exchange rate, and you weren't playing with funny money. And, you know, the bill is going to be tremendous when this debt's called in, but I think that the people from those presidential administrations have stolen trillions will be able to pay it back. But I just want to tell everybody, you know, when there is a reevaluation of currency, the dollar bill might get cut in half, which is why things like Bitcoin, things like Litecoin, things like shit, dude, anything, any other instrument, monetary instrument, gold coins, silver coins, is going to be smarter than keeping your dollars. And definitely, if you're in a major bank, please go to a credit union because they'll at least never take the credit union's money. It may get delayed or jammed up, but they pay the military with the credit unions, so they're not going to screw up the NCUA. But right. Yeah, I don't know, man. Let's
chew on.
Yeah, so we're going through QAnon. So let's start with 12-1 on this little thingy, which right. I kind of alluded to, which is SA, Saudi Arabia's loss of influence and the deal that they seem to have made with the Trump admin. So everyone knows that the Crown Prince pretty much strong arm tactics to take over their government. Mohammed bin Salman, he's the king's son, but it was going to go to this Taliweed guy, and now he's basically been rendited. If you keep reading QAnon and other assorted docs, people think that he's in custody of the military in the U.S. and he's singing and giving up all of his contacts. He owns like half of Twitter and all these other things. So I'm sure you've noticed Twitter's gone full censorship as of the 19th of the month, and people are leaving it in droves and going to Gab and other things like that. Anyway, so SA, Saudi Arabia loses its strategic value to the United States. But the United States still, of course, would love to have Saudi Arabia as a partner, since they are still extremely rich, even though their oil fields are mostly tapped, and they're probably not going to tell anybody that. So they're very, very rich, worth hundreds of trillions, maybe. Who knows how much they've squirreled away over the last 70, 80 years. And they make a deal with Trump. So Trump says, essentially, we're going to gut everybody that's a traitor that you were funding through your $6 trillion-plus trust, the Saudi Arabian Business Trust or whatever.
Now, that's when the prince, what's his name, went down, right?
Yeah, yeah. So deep dive into this is it's related to Vegas, and there's still conflicting theories about what Vegas was. As far as Vegas being Paddock and a lone gunman, that's just asinine theory. If you still believe that, please stop watching TV. The prevailing theory now is that this was a supposed setup, and the guys that were trying to purchase these guns didn't know that Paddock was an informant and thought he was just a gun runner. And they were a group of men that were there to try to off Mohammed bin Salman. All right, so he owns the Four Seasons on top of the MGM. They were supposedly taking elevators up, grabbing the guns, going up again, taking out all his bodyguards, taking him out, and then they were going to get away on helicopters. There's a lot of people that said there's helicopters firing down on the crowd even. So nobody really knows exactly that plan from that bent, except that it got screwed up. And there were multiple firefights all over Vegas. There was, in fact, five or six sites where people were killed in firefights with the cops, because this deal got blown up because Paddock was probably CIA, but he could have been FBI. Nobody really knows. He had a commercial pilot's license, which would probably mean he's a CIA guy, but nobody really knows. So that's one theory. The other theory is that Donald Trump was actually there meeting with King Salman and talking about the secession, and that they tried to hit a gas tank at the airport while these VIPs were at the airport to try to blow the whole airport up and kill these guys. And there are bullets in a tank. Thankfully, jet fuel is not as flammable that a bullet would set it off and blow up the airport. So these guys' plan failed. A whole bunch of people died. I don't still know what kind of psyop it was, because there's supposedly guys getting shot in the head, and 3 days later they're fine and they're getting GoFundMe for like $1 million. It's a crazy psyop of which I've never seen. You know, now with this Wolfgang Habig guy cutting apart Sandy Hook like Swiss cheese, I don't know which one of these is worse, is Vegas or Sandy Hook. But again, that's going way off topic. So that's essentially the story. It is that Saudi Arabia knew what was going on. They knew which way the wind was blowing, and the new blood made a deal with our new regime instead of doing what they've been doing. Now, what is Yemen? This is where it gets kind of crazy. So Yemen is because Saudi Arabia doesn't have any water. And if they don't have any oil and they don't have any water and they don't have any way to grow food, what kind of future are they going to have, even with all their money? They're going to run out someday. So they want their land, and they want to neutralize Iran, and they want to conquer the Persian Empire once and for all. And this kind of leads into the whole shakeup going on in the Middle East. Syria is basically mopped up and partitioned, unfortunately, and the Balkanization's completed. And, God, dude, QAnon alludes to so many things, the breadcrumbs.
I can't believe how unbelievably far-reaching this is supposed to be. I mean, this is just, this document is about 100 times bigger than I thought it was.
And it leads you a million places, too.
Can you explain the wizards and the warlocks?
So the wizards and the warlocks are their
some game theory stuff here.
Yeah, and they're old school. A lot of the wizards are the old school, like imagine the pioneers, the Turings, the unknown Alan Turings of the United States are the wizards. Okay, these guys are the original, the dudes that put the frameworks in the 60s, and they were probably using vacuum tubes and the building size computers. You know. Those guys, all right? So they give way to the warlocks who are the new school. This is the digital age of computing, the catch-all age, where they can actually catch any information, any digital communique. So much so that if you get all the way down to these last Q posts, which were today, they're saying, you guys are insane. We can hear and see everything you're doing. They're talking about, without skipping too much, the people that they're basically surveilling. These I don't even think they're deep state. I honestly think that they're royalty, and I mean that like in quite literal regards. Is they're watching people that are royalty right now that are trying to make deals and such. But that's who wizards and warlocks are, and why are they important? So the CIA has or had, I guess there's a fight right now, total control. But who are they, and what masters do they serve, and where do they come out of? So they came out of the OSS. If you remember during the World War II, pre-World War II era, we were being hit with a lot of German sabotage. They were really slowing down our capabilities because they knew that we were going to get into the war eventually. So they wanted to delay us and slow us down, okay? So they were hitting us quite heavily. So we had to create an Office of Strategic Security, or essentially the first counterintelligence or military intelligence. So the OSS was formed. The MI6 was in existence for a long time before then. This was the British. The British convinced the OSS that they should actually continue after the war and just change into a intelligence service at the behest of them. So they created the CIA. And who are they loyal to? It wasn't to us. I mean, if you want to talk about the deep state or the permanent government, you're talking about a corporation called the Central Intelligence Agency. So they were beholden to nobody. So they could do whatever they want, and their real loyalty lied to their creators, which I think everybody knows who they are loyal to. And that, of course, are the people that we still pay through the Federal Reserve through our income taxes that does not go to the U.S. So it goes back to all the way to 1776, dude. And it's like, did we really win our independence? And the answer is no. The British Empire gave up. It was too hard to fight us and France at the same time. And you have to remember, Napoleon popped up like only a couple decades after they gave up fighting us. So like, you have to imagine that they had World War Zero, which was Napoleon, right on their doorstep. So they just had to give up, okay? But in 1812, after they mopped up Napoleon, they came back and they basically blockaded us, and they installed their central banking system, all right? So they didn't really take us over so much as they controlled us again. And in 1913 was when they really did it, because then they took us off a gold standard. And then 50 years later, in 63, they killed the one guy who wanted to stop the printing press. And they made the printing press permanent as soon as they shot him. So that's what this is really all about. It's just about generations of people that have been lied to and sent to war and killed, and stuff like the Presidio military base where the military's own children in daycare were being abused and sexually assaulted. So you have to imagine if the people that are running things, the central banker class and associated royalty, are not above kidnapping, torturing, and raping the kids of the militaries that fight for them. No, there's no basement for these people. You know, the depopulation agenda is that's a pittance. They would kill us all if they could, and they would enjoy it. So these people had to be stopped no matter what. And that's what this was about, man. It's just about, it's a generational plan that has literally taken about 100 years. 1918, Smedley Butler. So why do the Marines answer right to the president and nobody else? Why does the executive in chief have the most heavily armed and funded and strictest basically regimented outfit that there is, meaning that if you had 5,000 Marines with the proper equipment, could any other 5,000 people in the whole world defeat them? No. So that's what the president has. He has essentially a Praetorian Guard. And what all these generals are they're his guardsmen. And he's pretty much told the military, as soon as everything's taken over, we're going to renegotiate and you're getting raises. We're all getting raises. The economy's going to boom again because we're not going to be beholden to these dudes that are just parasites. And, whatever you think about Trump, if he can pull this off, it's going to be a scary time, but I think it'll be obviously better than being in chains. I mean,
that's what's so incredible about this is the massive psyop that's gone on to position this guy. And look, I'm not a Trump supporter, so to say, but I do obviously I support dismantling the deep state. That's why this is difficult for me because it's difficult for a lot of people because there's so many different threads here, and we have to understand that this giant psyop to make us think that Trump is evil, and it could be distracting us from some of the larger issues that are going on.
Absolutely. And he's not evil. He's just, he is what he is. If you don't get what he is by now, I don't know what to tell you. And if you think he's stupid, you're kind of stupid because the guy's not stupid. You're being played. All right. It's an act. He's an actor. All right. He's a mogul. All right. He took $1 million and made it into $5 billion. Yeah, it took him all his life, but still, he didn't make stupid decisions. Was he unethical and did he skirt the law? Yeah, I'm sure, dude. Every single billionaire in this world does things that are fucked up. They don't get to that level if they don't. But yeah, there's a very fine line between evil and greedy, and a robber baron and a complete psychopathic Satanist, which is what I think Hillary was. So I believe we dodged a bullet. I believe we'd be at war with Russia if she was in. And I can kind of guarantee you that these barrages of back and forth with missiles would have already started because they would be backed into a corner. Russia cannot defeat us conventionally in any war, and they would feel they have to use nuclear weapons on us. And do you really think that Hillary would give a shit if a couple cities got hit? And then
I disagree with you. I do not think we'd be at war with Russia simply because I think they have an invested interest in keeping up this essentially giant money laundering operation.
With who, though? Because it wasn't going to work on with her. You know what I mean? Like she wanted to take them over. She wanted them to be a vassal state, not to work with them. And
Saudi Arabia?
No, I mean, if Hillary got in, she would leverage and blackmail the living crap out of Putin, dude, and he would become a vassal state of the MIC. That would, in effect, create a war. I'll tell you how Russia works. It's just the same as us. Putin's a figurehead. He's told what to do. There's a huge apparatus behind him, and they have their own military-industrial complex. But unlike us, they don't have a huge, huge, huge amount of graft. So they actually can build a lot of things with their small budget. But it's never going to be even a pittance compared to what we have. Our only true threat is China, and if we play nice with them, we're never going to have to fight them. So,
you think Trump came to office with this plan to drain?
He was installed,
yeah,
by the wizards and the warlocks with the help of the MIC, who I have to tell you don't want to create B-2 bombers and F-35s. They want to create scramjets and space bases. Lockheed Martin does not want to make bombs. They want to make spaceships. Ask anyone that works there. I mean, I've done my research, man, and I've looked on their posts, and everybody's jazzed about the fact that NASA is probably going to get actually dissolved, and everything's going to open up to the free market. I mean, it's going to be amazing. Lockheed Martin's going to be able to create, like, anything they want. And if enough people want to buy into it, it's going to be made. They're not going to have to rely on taxes anymore. So everything's going to get better if we can change the – we have to do swords to spaceships. You know the swords to plowshares thing?
No.
Swords to spaceships. That's what we need, all right? We have a lot of really smart people in the world that deserve to be paid, and the only people paying them are arms dealers. And we need to transfer them to space exploration companies.
Well, I agree with that. I mean,
we have to. And we got to get off this. We got to get off this planet. We can't all be here.
I agree with that totally. I think we're multiple decades away from that. But
what if it's tomorrow though? What if they've been lying? What if the last 70 years they've been investing a couple trillion a year into this secret space program?
But that's exactly, it's a secret space program.
What if they let us know? What if they're like, you know what? It's either this or World War III, and you can thank your lucky stars the right people won. Now we're not going to have World War III. Tomorrow we're going to announce that we have a spaceship building program. We're going to start looking to get off world within a decade.
And you think they're going to open up space to... I mean, they've already started opening up space to private entrepreneurs, and you think that trend is going to continue?
We have it has to. It will. AI is going to speed it up, and it's going to do calculations in our sleep we could never do in a million years.
Of course, but that would presuppose, of course. Now, of course, you're saying that there are not any kind of alien artifacts on the moon or Mars, because if there are, private companies will find them.
And maybe they're found already. And maybe they're already taken. So, I don't know. I do know one thing. I know the average person, maybe they're a little fluoridated out of their minds and going crazy, but I think they're ready to be told what we can really do as a species and our potential.
That's an interesting point. Is once you break people will bitch and moan and they'll make a big deal out of it. But once you start opening things up for people to actually do what they want to do and not be indentured servants, I think that would have a natural effect of that would immediately break through the disinformation in terms of...
Jake, who do you know, and you don't need to name names, but just think in your mind, who of your friends do you know that's really lucky to have the job they're at right now and they're barely making it? They're not real bright, but at the same time, they're a great person and they're entertaining. Quite a few, right?
Yeah, I mean,
that's a waste of their talents. All right, everybody I know, even the most challenged of us, is creative. So that's what I think we're looking to make a decision about. Can we trust each other enough to not have to force people to show up for work for them to get their basics? So they can stay at home and make stupid YouTube videos if that's all they got.
Well, I mean, yeah, I mean, I agree with you there. I mean, we're getting into a kind of a different conversation here in terms of...
Well, what QAnon is, it's a shifting of the economy for the future now. And all the pains and all the aches that are going with it and all the crazy times that are changing people's minds about everything and scaring them. That's what's going on. It's the death throes of an economy that relied on something we had to pull out of the ground and make explode to create energy that we know we don't need. The internet shows us how to build I wish I had the technological bent for it, because the total materials don't look more than $2,000 or $3,000. And they're on Keshe. I'm sure you know Keshe, Jake. Yep. Keshe Foundation. But You can make, if you have the skills, you can make a 0 point that'll spin in your basement and just you can tie it into your power grid and it'll make power for you. I just don't know how to do it, but I'm saying the stuff's here. The new economy is coming. Bitcoin is killing fiat currency. Tesla is killing any reason to buy a brand new internal combustion engine. I will tell you, BMW is not going to make one after 2025. So if you're buying a brand new internal combustion engine, you got about 8 to 10 years on it tops. Buy something electric or at least a hybrid so you can convert it later and pull the engine out. But you know, these things are changing no matter what. These guys tried to stop it, and they had been successful for so long, but me and you know the truth, and I spread it, and I spread it every single day. And everybody I talk to goes, you know, 3 months ago you told me about this, and it sent me on this path, and now I know all this stuff, and I can't go back. And that's how it is, man. It's like, we do not have to live in this fake-ass paradigm they've created for us. Not anymore.
Well, there you have it, people. I wanted DB to break it down, and he dropped the mic on that one. So that was pretty awesome. I mean, this document you gave me is like a sea scroll, a digital sea scroll that I'm gonna have to go through.
And you don't need to like Trump, but you know, just understand what he is. Not, you don't need to. It doesn't even matter who he is so much. Just,
well, the best metaphor I've seen of Trump, I think it was David Wilcox actually that said it, is that think of him as a battering ram. You know, he Trump himself is probably not super aware of a lot of the stuff that's going on behind the scenes, but he's being used by, you know, these you know, counter cabal people to reposition.
But he is aware enough, so don't be fooled into thinking this is a big oaf.
No,
he's
I don't,
up there and he's a dotard. Okay,
I don't think he's dumb. I just don't.
He's not.
He's just not. He's not dumb. I just don't. I don't know if his intentions are as fully good as you would.
Well,
you would
be. Here, I'll just before we end, I want to tell everybody altruistically what this is going
to wants to do. For example, he doesn't believe in protecting the environment. Really, he doesn't.
Well, that'll be next week when we'll talk about how the climate accord's
next,
bullshit.
Yeah. Let's look at that. We disagree on that one. We'll have to do our research. All right, thanks. Thank you, DB. That was awesome. Thanks.
Go and let it blow through the stereo. I'ma let 'em know through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the stereo.